from friends to inspirational truths. A time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and it is, I'm happy to say, Inspirational Truth time once again. And as always, I greet you in the name of Christ, my Savior, and I want Him to be yours. He can be. Remember, I always tell you, I think from time to time, that He came to be, Luke 19 and 10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what the Word of God says. That's what His mission was. And old friend, listen, He knows who you are and where you are. And if you want to be saved, if you want to be saved, you can be saved by the grace of God. Well, I'm excited, as always, about the message God has laid upon my heart. And I'll tell you, friend, I believe where we're at nationally and even globally, and prophetically, it's one of the most important messages, I suppose, that I could preach or have preached in some degree in some time. I've turned my Bible to the book of Romans, and I'm going to read out of verses, or out of chapters 11, and also probably chapter 9, unless the Lord changes my heart, between now and when Debbie gets done with her song. So you join me there. You be sure to be very prayerful for me as I look at a subject that I believe is relevant. It's certainly prophetic and biblically necessary and all in the day and the hour that we live. I'll tell you. Well, you understand as I bring the message to you in just a little bit. Debbie's got a song queued up and ready to go. The title of it is, Who Is This King? Now, it's getting close to Christmas time at the making of this program, and really that's what this song is about. But you listen to it, I believe it'll go right with the message God has laid on my heart. And by the way, I told you when Debbie was finished with her last project, I'd let you know it's in. We've got the CDs. If you'd like any of them, I tell you what you do. You write us and let us know. We'll send them back to you in return mail. Now, the reason of the project, she's going to donate all the money that might be generated from the sales of these CDs to go to our building program, the church. So if you, though, want one of these CDs, listen, I'll tell you what, if you want one of them, you can't afford it. You're right. I'll guarantee you'll get it nonetheless. Well, you pray for Debbie now. Who Is This King is the title of the song. And then I'll be back out of the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapters 9 and chapters 11. And I'll be bringing the message from there. You be sure to pray for me, would you?
The town that's called Bethlehem, so many years ago, there was a king that was born. He was born in a stable low, but most did not realize what had taken place. This king had come down to enter the human race. Come down to sit upon the throne. could save them from their sins. He will be the one who will take his children home.
Oh, I like that, don't you? Thank you, Debbie, for a song well written, well done. I appreciate you, and I love you very much. I have turned my Bible to the book of Romans, and I'm going to read, as I told you, from two different chapters. Now listen, this message that God has laid on my heart is bigger than all of us. It's bigger than one 30-minute program that I can do, and I don't know whether God will allow me to do a follow-up message on it next week, and even the week after, and the week after, if He so desires. But I want to talk to you about Israel and the Jews. Israel and the Jew. And I want to tell you something, friend. Regardless of what Ahmadinejad says and what Satan desires and what ignorant people from whatever level of society they come from say about Israel and the Jew, it is impossible, and I should have maybe titled the message that, and I thought about it, and maybe I'll give it a subtitle, Israel and the Jew. It is impossible, friend, to extinguish them, to exterminate them, to do away with them. God has a plan for them. God has made a promise to them. And listen to me, friend, in God is yea and amen. What He said, He'll bring to pass. Who He chose, He'll do it through. And I want you to know the Bible refers to Abraham and his descendants as the elect. Now you say, preacher, I thought we were. Well, God has two elects, and that's another message for another time. But let me read to you, if I may, right here in the book of Romans, probably the greatest book of the New Testament. I'm telling you, this book of Romans is such a great book of theology and truth that it's almost hard to comprehend how Paul in 16 chapters could say as much as he said in so few words. But I'm telling you, it's as deep, as high as high, and as broad as broad. Now, Paul began, and I thought I'd read in chapter 11 first, but I'm going to back up in chapter 9. Paul was saying, he said, now listen, right here in chapter 9, 10, and 11, which gives the past, the present, and the future of Israel. Listen, God has done something with them. He is doing something with them, and He will do something with them. Paul was saying this. He was saying, now listen, I'm troubled over Israel. He said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. And you say, what for, preacher? Well, he goes on to say, for I wish that myself were accursed from Christ and my brother and my kin, for my brother and my kinsmen according to the flesh. If I understand this right, Paul was saying he was burdened that they were lost. He wanted the nation of Israel to receive Christ, to understand who Christ was, the Yeshua HaMashiach that the prophets and their fathers had forecast and preached about and prophesied about, and he knew that as a nation they had and were rejecting him, and he knew prophetically all the pain that they would suffer. He knew the places in some degree that they would go, but yet he knew there was a grand and a glorious future for them. But Paul said, listen, I would be willing to die lost and go to hell if my dying lost and going to hell would bring salvation to them. And Paul goes on to say, he said, what's so important about the Israelite? What's so important about the Jew? He said, well, let me just give you a few things. Paul said in verse 4, I'll give you a list. He said, who are Israelites? to whom pertain the adoption and the glory. Do you know what? We know more about God through the Jew than we do anybody else. In fact, we would know much about God except what we could find in nature, in creation around us. And you can find that God is in nature, but you won't find God in nature. And I hope you understand that paradoxical statement. But you that are spiritually minded won't have any problem with that at all. And we find through the Jew, friend, about the glory of God. And it is through the Jews that God made a covenant with. There are seven covenants in the Word of God. And do you know what? God made more covenants with the Jews than He did anybody else. Oh, He made the Adamic covenant. I know that. He made also the Noahic covenant. I know that. But I don't know about you. I like the Abrahamic covenant. He's still going to fulfill that. He made the Davidic covenant. He's still going to fulfill that. He made the Palestinian covenant. He's still going to fulfill that. He made a new covenant. I come under that. And if you're saved, you do too. And if you want to be saved, you do too. But God's going to fulfill that. Hey, God, listen, is not done with the Jews. It is impossible. Look, he goes on to say the giving of the law. You know what? We have the law of Moses that came through the Jew. Do you hear me that? Hey, every democratic government, every government that is the right kind of government upon the face of the earth has as its foundation and basis the principles and the ideals of the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, those ten, thou shalt nots, and thou shalt, listen, bless God. God can say, listen, an eternity of stuff in just a few words, can He not? And He said even the services of God and the promise. But I got to go on. My time's running out. Listen to what Paul said in chapter 11. He said, I say then. Now listen to what he does. He asks a question in verse 1. He said, I say then, hath God cast away His people? Do you know who His people are? It is the Jews. Do you know the Bible says that God is married to the Jew, to Israel? Did you know that? Raise your hand if you did, or say amen. Did you know that God wrote through Hosea a book, a prophecy, a word to His people about a man who had an unfaithful wife, and yet the man at a great cost purchased her late in her life when she had given herself to most anyone and everyone else but her husband? Sounds like a great prophecy to me, a great manifestation of the heart of God, a great declaration of the love of God. And Paul asked these believers here at Rome, and he asked us today, have God cast away His people? Now watch his answer. He said, God forbid. One of the most powerful terms that Paul could put down on paper, on parchment from his pen he was writing with. He said, perish the thought. Get rid of it. Don't even entertain it. He said in this, God forbid, it's utterly impossible for God to abandon someone that He has chosen and someone to whom He had given promise. He said, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away His people, which He foreknew. Now, if I had time, I could go on down and show you some things, and maybe God will allow me in the next week or two. But God has set aside this people because of their unbelief so that you and I might be brought into something that's eternally marvelous. Oh, how glorious that it is. He said in verse 12, if the falling, or since the fall of them, be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentile, watch now, he doesn't stop writing, how much more their fullness, for if the casting away of them, in verse 15, be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? I'm here to tell you, friend, that it is impossible to do away with Israel and the Jew. Now look, I can't say everything that needs to be. I cannot say everything that I want to say in such a short period of time in a message like this about what ought to be said. But oh, I pray God will grace us and give us enough time and enough ability to say some of the things that ought to be said. Do you know what I believe? I believe that there is as much, if not more, gross and willful ignorance existing in our world about Israel, about her people and God's plan for them than any other day in the history of time. You say, preacher, why do you say that? Look, we've got the fulfilled word of God. We have seen the promise of God come true with the nation of Israel and the Jew. And I'll make mention of the dates for that in just a little bit if I don't run out of time. There is no reason, friend, for us who are in this modern enlightened society with more knowledge at our fingertips, and what we need is more wisdom, by the way, to understand the truth about Israel, the truth about Jews and God's plan for them and how God has used them to bless every one of us, even those of us that are willfully ignorant and grossly stupid in their statements about the very people God calls His elect. Listen to me. If I had no reason to believe the Word of God I hold in my hand, if I had no reason but this, to believe that the Bible was the Word of God, there would be just one word that would be enough for me. And you know what it is? It is the word Jew. If there was no reason, if I was trying to figure out whether this 1611 King James Bible is the Bible, if it is utterly, completely, entirely, wholly, undoubtedly, infallibly, bless God, the inerrant, eternal Word of God, if I only needed one reason to make me believe that it was, the word Jew would be enough. Now look, at the time that I'm giving this message, the time that I'm putting it together and sharing it with you, it's just a few days after Obama's re-election. And just a day following his election, I heard somebody interviewing some college-age kids that thought, and what they thought about how America and Obama should respond to Israel. Well, I'm telling you, friend, I don't know if I've ever heard anything so disgraceful. I don't know that I've ever heard anything with more vitriol, hatred, and satanic and hellacious verbiage coming from the mouth of someone that is totally ignorant, bless God, totally ignorant about what God says. Oh, they're empowered by Satan. They manifest His heart and His desire. They're His puppets. They're His pawns. But oh, how deep the ignorance is, how deep the hatred is against the people, bless God, that has been nothing but a blessing to the world, that has been chosen by God, and through God choosing them, the blessings that they have brought to the world are almost unspeakable and eternal. Listen. Listen. Our world, not just America, our world, the entire globe, and we hear about global economies. We hear about a one world government. We hear about this and that. Our world, friend, not just America, the beautiful, the home of the brave and the land of the free, is eternally indebted to the Jews. And we are that for a multitude of reasons. He said, preacher, can you give us any? Well, let me ask you one real simple. It's not theological. It's just practical. It's just simple. Anybody out there besides me ever had a headache and took an aspirin? Do you know who the one was that discovered or developed or invented the aspirin? It was a Jew. If you hate the Jews so much, you just keep your old headache. You just keep your old headache. I dare you to take an aspirin. Oh, listen, friend. Ignorance, and criticism and unbelief. My, it takes us so far down a serious path that's wrong, that'll lead us up to the wrong place and finally put us in the wrong place. Have you ever taken an aspirin? Look, do you know anybody that's saved? Do you know anybody, because they heard the gospel story of Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and resurrected? Have you ever heard of a story of some drunk, some drug addict, some wife beater, child abuser that got saved? Their life was transformed because they went to church, heard a gospel message, and they became a new creature in Christ. You ever heard of anybody getting their sins forgiven? Do you ever hear of anybody, friend, getting the grace of God instead of the judgment of God? Did you ever see somebody's life changed radically, and the only explanation for it could be is that Christ saved them and was birthed within them and made them a new creature in Him? Have you ever known anybody that got saved? Do you want me to tell you what? Then you owe some thanks to a Jew. Listen, friend, you owe thanks to a Jew. And listen to me, God is not done with them. Oh, He's got a great blessing prepared for them. The Bible said in John 4:22, I believe it is, and I know it's in John 4, He said that salvation is of the Jew. And you listen to what I'm going to say. You listen to what I'm going to say. You may have been a Jew hater. You may have been a Christ rejecter. You may hate Judaism. You may hate Christianity. You may hate anything about God and about His Word. You may do all of those things, but I'll tell you, if you ever come to your senses, and if you ever come to a place of repentance, if you'll kneel before Christ and say, "Oh God, I'm a sinner. I've done all these things in ignorance," you'll find a Jew by the name of Jesus that'll save you, will change you, who'll cleanse you, and who'll forgive you. Oh, thank God. What a mighty God we serve. Do you ever hear the term of Judeo-Christianity? Do you know that Judaism and Christianity is built or birthed out, or that Christianity was birthed out of Judaism? Did you know that? Do you know that both Christianity and Judaism have a related history? And really, to be blunt with it, we wouldn't have Christianity unless we had the Jew. Let me give it to you again. Salvation is of the Jews. Now look, my time's running out. Now, I don't have time to go much further with this message, and by the grace of God, I will follow up with it next week. It'll never be completed. But there is a modern move of anti-Semitic thinking and speaking. It's absolutely alarming. Ahmadinejad said he doesn't believe that the World War II and Hitler tried to eliminate the Jew, and yet, friend, there is an undeniable record in history that Hitler caused the death of better than 6 million Jews. Well, I'll tell you what I believe, and I know it to be a fact. Anti-Semitic thought is anti-Israel, anti-Jewish thought. It's the desire to do away with Israel, to exterminate them. And listen to me, it comes not only in a physical world, but it also affects us in our spiritual world. And I'll look at that beginning next week. But hear me. No. Let me rephrase that. Don't hear me. Hear the Word of God. Hath God cast away His people? Paul asked. He said, God forbid. Heavens, no. He said, perish the thought. That's a stupid thing to ask. That's a stupid thing to consider. Now, Paul didn't say it in those words. He's more diplomatic than I am. But friend, listen, read the Word of God and see what God says. The Jew is the Jew is the Jew. The church is the church is the church. The Gentile is the Gentile is the Gentile. And He's got a plan for all of them. Now I'm going to ask you this in closing. What's your part in that plan? Will you continue to spew vitriol words of hate and despite against God's chosen, the apple of His eye? And will you receive the due rewards for your deeds? Or will you fall before a holy God whose Son was born via a Jewish mother's virgin womb and find salvation free and whole? If you're a Christian and you don't understand the difference between Israel and the church, you need to fall on your face before God and ask Him to open, through the Spirit of God, the Word up to your heart so you can understand the truth about God's chosen. Father, I come to You with a heavy heart today. Something that You've known about, something that Your people have fought against for millennium. I'll not bring it to an end today, but let me lift up Your people and glorify Your name, because You have sent Your Son through the descendants of a man by the name of Abraham. Bless this word in Christ's name. Well, thanks for joining me. Write and let me know what you thought. Stay with me every time. Until then, God bless.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours. And you are the